I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now you see, I thank you is what Jesus said quite often. He always said it to his Father. In prayer, our prayer life, we are told by God, I want you to come to me in prayer. I am not told by God to leave and quit praying at any time. I may have voiced many prayers throughout my whole ministry and throughout my life before I was ever called into the ministry. But my friends, the prayer life that I have in my heart are those multiplicity of prayers that I pray from within through my mind. How many times do you catch yourself? You will do that. You're talking to the Lord driving down the highway. You're talking to the Lord no matter what the situation. You're getting ready to take a test. I do not want to speak where others can hear me so that they won't hear that I'm completely unprepared for this test. Remember that in school, college, any of them? You know, you're going to take a test and you know that you're unprepared. Why? Well, I don't know. It was everybody else's fault but mine. No. It was probably because in my own situation, I was too ornery to study. I just didn't want to study. Lord, will you bless me with an A today? I could hear the laughter from heaven. You know, God blesses you and me because His love was first given to us. And then we were able to reciprocate. We were able to love back. But the Lord says, I put in your heart my word, my truth, all about your life as an individual. God did not tell me what everybody else's life was going to be like. But He did tell me about my own. Now let me talk to you about you. Well, Lord, I'd rather talk about somebody else. We're going to talk to you about you, Larry. And the Lord says, here, this is your path for life. This is the direction I'm pointing you in. Now, Larry, because I love you so much and I have given you the ability to love me back, I want you to take that powerful love and I want you to give it to the world. What God wanted to hear from me was, I thank you, Lord, for such a gift. Do you realize how many people out there don't have the gift of love? They don't care about anyone else. They don't care about love. They care about getting. They care about self. They care about power. I serve a living God who is an awesome, loving God. And God says, I thank you. God loves me when I share that love with others. And haven't you done that? Have somebody say, I thank you. Do you know how that feels, don't you? Somebody just thanked you for kindness. Well, you could get hooked on that, people. Why? It'd be horrible for us Baptists, though. That means we'd be ending up having to be kind all the time. You know how hard that is on us. Kind? To say, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the truth of God. I don't tell them they need to be a Baptist. Hey, here's something that will drive some people crazy. I've had a tendency of doing that in my life. You don't even have to go to church to go to heaven. Whew. That really gets me in a mess, doesn't it? That gets me in the Bible, people. My salvation is of the Lord. Not of a denomination. Not of a building. But of the love of an almighty God. I unite together in God's house. Because it's where I find the peace that God wants me to have in fellow believers. I do it because I love to. I thank you for coming. I thank you for being a part of the body of Christ so we can unite together. And when we unite together, we'll walk in boldness in a world that hates God. And if it hates God, it's going to hate you. God touched my life. God touched my body. But even if God had not gave me that healing over there, that's four cancers. You know, everybody says the third time's charm. Might as well hang it up, boys. This pastor ain't going anywhere till God says. And it'll be according to His will. No disease. Oh, gosh, Vance, don't challenge COVID, too. I'll challenge any of it. I'm the child of a king called by God to preach His word. Now, when my messages are over that God has given me, if y'all don't mind, I'll go on home. If you're not there yet, I'll be there and you get there. I mean, how can you lose on that? Think of that. Ephesians 5 verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Lord, I hit my thumb with the hammer. I thank you, Lord. See, you and I have a hard time relating to this. But it goes deeper than the hammer and the thumb. It goes to the heart of the brokenness. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with our minds? Lord, I think I'm losing my mind. I'm not going to surprise God with that. You and I allow so much of the garbage of this world to work on our mind that I guarantee you half the people in here think you're crazy. Amen. And the other half think you're crazy too. That's life, folks. That's who we are. But no, you are life-worn, W-R-N-E, life-worn. Life wears you down. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, new life. I'll raise you up. Larry Pete, I'm not through with you yet. Now listen, I'll have to admit, and I'm sure there was some sin in that. I'm looking forward to going home, people. I mean, they're talking to me about an aorta and a vena cava and the cancer on it and all of this and how many doctors, surgeons are going to be in my body. Gosh. I got a smile in my heart. My wife about ready to beat me half to death because of my attitude. But let me tell you something. I know who's in control. And I thank you, God, for remaining so. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Brother, two sisters. Loved Jesus. Jesus was great friends with them. I mean, that was the family beyond the family. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Jesus gets word. And here Jesus is walking around healing people, you know, doing all of these magnificent messages that He's giving. And He's touching lives, changing lives, lifting people up. What? The lame was walking, the blind was seeing. Jesus walking along. Word comes to him. Lord, Lazarus is very ill, even unto death. And Jesus, well, he keeps ministering. I'll tell you what he said there in a moment. But he keeps ministering. John 11:3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. Now listen to this. Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. That's how tight Jesus was with Lazarus. Here's something interesting for those of you who study Scripture a lot. Do you know that there's nothing recorded in the Bible that Lazarus ever spoke, either before this time or after this? There are no words of Lazarus ever printed in the Scripture. The word came to Jesus, your friend is dying. So what would they expect? Well, Jesus loves him so much. Jesus is going to back away from everyone else. All these other people that are hurting. All these other people that needed healing. Jesus is going to leave them immediately and go to his good friend Lazarus. I mean, that's just what we do. Well, Lord, are you going to wait here and take care of a stranger when your best friend is on his deathbed? All the disciples are having a hard time. Jesus kept touching lives where he was. His friend is dying. And Jesus makes this statement. Listen to it. As they're coming to him, as they're telling him, Jesus says in John 11:4, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not, look at that, end in death. I should have had that all caps. Will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. There's a purpose for every situation in your life and my life. Lazarus, I'm coming, friend. In the meantime, think of it this way. His best friend, close friend, he's on his deathbed. Dying. Actually, by this time, he was already dead. Physically, humanly. There's another point I want to bring to you right now. The Bible, the Word of God, is all you or I will ever need in owning to know how to follow the Lord. But it's not all of what Jesus did by any means. We know from Scripture that if every miracle that Jesus had performed were written down in the book, the Scripture tells us that the world could not hold the books it would take to write them down. That's a lot of love, people. That's a lot of blind people seeing. Lame people walking. Mean people turning good. That's a lot of that. God's miracle. Touching lives. But there were lives to be touched before he got to his friend. He did not abandon those strangers. He did not walk away. Because he already was talking to his Father. I'll show you how I know that in a moment. He had already offered up the prayer and talked to God at this time when he heard it. He had already got word from God the Father what to do. And all those people along the road waiting for a touch from the Master's hand to thank Him. Thank Him for touching their life, healing them. Oh, have you ever had a wound on the inside so great? The burden so heavy that you think your whole life is going to fall and falter? Have you ever had such pressure of brokenness on the inside to where you can't see the light? What if Jesus had left you there because one of His closest friends was sick? And He bypassed you. Jesus, the Son of the living God, had never bypassed. Not one who's cried out to Him in need. And He has always healed them. Now you get this right. When you pray for God's healing, would you please, let me be kind on this. Just shut up and let God do it His way. Now, God, here's how I want You to heal him. Remember what I told you all when you're praying for me? I don't want to get in trouble. So when you're praying for me, at the end of your prayer, you said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." You have just guaranteed your prayer to be answered. And it's answered the way that we want it answered. Oh, we say we do. Lord, I want Your will to be done, but here's how I want You to do it. And here's how I want You to give. Lord, take my wife and straighten her out and then give her back to me in the way that I think she ought to be. That ain't going to work, people. I don't care how many times you prayed that prayer, Larry Stutler. That ain't going to work. God sees the heart and loves us just like we are. God didn't say, "Larry Pete, you got to clean your act up." God came into me and said, "I'm going to clean you up." I like that. I can't do it. I mean, it's difficult for human beings to do that on yourself. Because see, for one thing, you don't think you're in that big of a mess to begin with. It's not really you, it's everybody else. It's around you. And that's the fact. Well, Jesus, You should do this our way. Can't you imagine the disciples looking at each other? What's He doing? Lazarus, we know how much He loved Lazarus. What's He doing? We need to begin. And then the other, and here's what the conversation was going on. You see, here Lazarus, Mary and Martha are in Bethany. That's about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Here he is over here preaching to go to him. Word comes in, "Won't you come?" And Jesus said, knowing that he's coming, he's already talked to God the Father, that God's already told him this is what's going to happen and all of this, and he's following his direction. Well, here's where the problem was with his disciples. They had just prior to this tried to kill Jesus at that same place, was going to stone him to death. The disciples are saying, "Y'all leave him alone. I don't want to go back there. Maybe Jesus will do it from here and we won't have to go back and take a chance of dying." Now that, the disciples that were around, that's us. That's you and me. "Okay, Lord, I'm going to figure this out for you. No sense in me going. I know how powerful Your Spirit is. Just send Your Spirit, because I know they ain't going to like me standing up preaching Your word. Just put it in their heart, Father, and tell them You love them." You know, people are told they're loved quite often. But the greatest love that you will ever receive is from the Master who created you. "I want to love You more, but I don't know how." Each of us want to give more love, but good gracious, folks, we don't know the meaning sometimes of the type of love that is needed. So here Jesus is. He's getting the word. will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Mary was praying. She was with the mourners. This is the same Mary that anointed Jesus' head and also his feet and dried them with her hair. This is that same Mary. A woman so devout and so loving of the Lord. Martha and Mary, very close. Again, this is a very close family. Martha was the one that did something all the time. She was one of those crocheters and knitters. They could sit down, but they're going to have to keep doing something. Well, that's who she was. Mary was the kind of person that wanted to learn more, wanted to just be there and hear the word and to serve and to anoint and to give praise to. Just two different types of personalities who loved one another. They had got together. It was Mary and Martha both who said, send for Jesus. And the word comes. Now listen to it. As soon as they get there and Jesus is looking at them when they're saying, Lord, what are you going to do? I wish they had sort of paid attention to what he was doing. He happened to have been healing the poor in the ditch of life. He happened to have been putting lives back together on his way. The call had went out. He was coming. But he had a ministry to take care of before he got there. Never you fear, my friends. Even though you think you've been left out in the cold, that you cannot feel the healing or you're not going to get it, don't you dare push God aside. But the human part will cry out, Lord, where are you? Why has this come upon us? Those are questions that are okay. It's okay for you to be angry. It's okay for you to get all upset. That's okay. But I don't want you to worry. It's not, is God on his way? He's already there. He's already taking care of the situation. We just got to get our heart right to where we can see it. And it is God who's taking care of it. John 11, verses 38, 39. Jesus. Well, Jesus once more deeply moved. What are you talking about? As soon as Jesus started looking at all the people, he's there now. He's looking at all the people outside the house where they're praying and all of this. He's paying attention here. So as he's looking around, he sees Mary and Martha crying. They were broken. Whether they had masks on, the doctor, Dr. Jesus, could see the tears in their eyes. And he wept. Read John 11, chapter 11. Read that. Jesus gets there. He looks at the hurt and the pain. And Jesus wept. Well, wait a minute. Jesus knew what he was getting ready to do. You think that Jesus would be all up in there excited and all of this stuff. Hey, don't sweat this. I got it. Jesus was allowing the human emotion to play out. It's got to play out. You're human. I'm human. Therefore, that emotion has to work through. See, we were created by God to live the human experience. Folks, will you live it? And Christians, would you live it in peace? Would you live it in purpose? Would you live it knowing that when you said yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you're saved? So shut up griping about everything and get yourself outside. And I want you to start serving the Lord with gladness. And Jesus looks at him. He sees Mary and Martha and all the others weeping. Shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 11:5, I believe. John 11:5. I think. I'm sure I'll be corrected. If not, Jesus wept. He wept for them and their hurt. He felt their pain. That's when he went to the cross. He took it all. He had to feel your pain, Brother Randy, so he could conquer that pain. He had to feel every individual's pain, every hurt, everything going on with us. Jesus had to feel it. And he wept. So here he is. He's come before them. Jesus, once more deeply moved. I mean, he is allowing their sorrow to come through him. And he, from the human standpoint, felt the sorrow himself. He had to feel it all. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. I'm sure Jesus could picture this one coming up, couldn't he? He was in a cave. Because Jesus told him, where'd you lay him? And Brother Randy and I always love this part. Where have you laid him? Take him to me. Huh. Wonder why Jesus didn't know where they laid him. Don't you understand? Again, you must live out your human existence. You must allow the people, each other, to deal with life and to go through it. It is not a cursing from God. It is a blessing from God. Where'd you lay him? And then the first thing they said, the girl said, the sisters, Lord, it's been 4 days. You know, every time I read that, I always wonder, was that a jab again? We have a tendency to do those things. He's been dead 4 days. And I love the old English, Brother Randy. Surely he stinketh. Surely a lot of Christians stinketh. Because they should be alive. But they're rottening in a pew. Or in a home. Not getting out, being about our Father's business. The most important business of all. Showing the world true love. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Jesus gets there and Jesus said, take away the stone. Again, can't you picture everybody? Well, he just commanded the stone to move. He's so powerful. If Jesus had commanded the stone to be moved away, every stone on that hill would have been moved away. They couldn't have handled that one. Because you see, when Jesus speaks, the whole earth shakes. Take away the stone. Oh, there's a great story here. This man, wrapped in grave cloth. Take away, that means wrapped like a mummy. Take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. Odor, surely he stinketh. For he had been there for 4 days. They took away the stone. Then Jesus prays. This is the place I want you to remember. John 11:41. Jesus prays. Jesus now is praying openly, outwardly. Jesus is praying outwardly. Jesus has already prayed this prayer inwardly with his Father. How do I know that? Because, well, I'm feeling good today. Because, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you. Woo, there it is. I thank you that you have heard me, meaning you already heard me, that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this, I'm doing it again, Father, for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Father, I thank you. Now I'm going to repeat this, Father, and he's reminding us why. So all these out here will know what's getting ready to happen. You did it, Father. Jesus Christ never prayed a prayer God didn't answer. Jesus never spoke a word that God didn't tell him to speak. Not at one point in his whole ministry did he say anything. Do you know what that was? That was leading people to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus knew what he must do, but he knew the hurt of people. He had lived the hurt of people, and he wanted them to know God is truly listening. You see, it's what you do with that message that God has placed in your heart that's going to matter to those around you. It's the word that you give them that you want them to remember, not your foolishness, but the word of God, so that one day they might say, as we're walking through heaven, thank you for giving to the Lord. Brother Randy? So after Jesus has said this, you take me there, let me see the tomb, roll away the stone. John 11:43 says, when he had said this, I love this part. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. Jesus was a lot louder than your pastor ever dreamed to be. You don't preach to 5,000 people on a mountaintop in a whisper, and they all hear that word. Said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Come alive. Be new. Born again. Born with power. Born from above. Hey, Lazarus, the friend who loves you wants to visit. Come forth. And then Jesus looked at all of those around him. You know why? God, here come Lazarus, the one that was dead and stinketh. Probably still was. I don't know. He comes out. Jesus looks at all of them around him. You got to remember, Lazarus would have been almost like a mummy, you know, in the grave cloth and all. He coming out, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. As the Lord speaks to you and me, and as he touches our life, touches our heart, touches our spirit, when you lead someone or you're blessed by being in the presence of someone who the Holy Spirit has convicted and they say yes to Jesus, don't you dare start laying rules and regulations on them. You back off that garbage. You let Jesus tell them how to dress. You let Jesus tell them how to talk. He can straighten that tongue out. You ask any Marine. The Lord can straighten it out. The Lord says, that's my child. I don't know what you're called to do, but I know the one who called you to do it. I'll support you in your journey for Jesus. But I refuse to ever condemn you for what you're doing on that journey. Not my job. My job's to preach the Word of God. My job's not to save you because I can't. My job's to tell you the one who can, to point you to Him. He'll take care of all the rest. Jesus does His job perfectly. I know this is going to be hard for you, but I want you to know, Christian, the day you said yes to Jesus, in the eyes of Jesus, you were perfected. You became perfect. Now, your wife's going to argue with you, but you became perfect in His eyes, because He sees you as already there and everything completed. He knows every step, every breath, everything that's going to take place. He sees it. And He sees you as you are already perfected. And that's the way He treats you. And when you call on the name of the Lord and ask that His will be done in prayer, you count on it, folks. It's already done. Just don't get angry with Jesus for the way He does it, because He's going to do it the right way. And Jesus always does life that way. Everybody that you know, Jesus put there for you and put them there so that you could minister to them in love. Be at peace with your fellow man. Express love. Don't have time for all this foolishness. Their souls needing saving out there. Get about your Father's business. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving thanks to you. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that as you touch our lives, dear Lord, that you will make a difference within our life, that it'll be through your touch, dear Lord God, that we will see those lives change and see your word delivered through your chosen. We ask now for those blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.